Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Good morning and welcome to Breakfast Business, and thank you to Shane Beattie. It is Monday, the 11th of August at 6:32. Coming up on today's show, we'll be talking to the boss of an American company with a big jobs announcement, and we'll be looking at what small businesses think of the forthcoming budget and what they expect, and all the markets as usual. You can email us business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main business stories in the newspapers and websites, which we shall do with the super trooper company of Russ Mould from AJ Bell. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning to you, Joe. You're keeping well, I hope.
Not too bad. I believe you guys are going to get a massive heat wave this coming week.
Pretty toasty sitting here in Brighton on the south coast of England right now, and I'm actually hacking into London later on, so we'll see what it's like in the metropolis.
It's going to be in the mid-30s, apparently, London. In Dublin, it's nice and warm here as well. Not quite as warm as that, but still quite nice. Now, let us start with our big international news. Now, at the weekend, Armenia and Azerbaijan, not two countries we talk about that often, they signed a type of peace deal, and there might be an opportunity in it for Europe when it comes to energy security.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend I'm a massive geopolitics expert, particularly on former Soviet republics, but the theory here seems to be, as the four-decade-long conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan to the west of the Caspian Sea comes to an end, that will enable Europe to perhaps build links to Turkmenistan, which sits on the east of the Caspian Sea, and get a major gas line going into Turkmenistan, fourth biggest gas reserves in the world behind Russia, Iran and Qatar. So if that war ends, pipeline can be laid, I assume through Turkey or the Black Sea, and that Europe can therefore get its get extra gas supply, further wean itself off, or probably literally still buy some Russia. And given that gas is deemed to be a green fuel by Europe for environmental and
taxonomy
reasons, taxonomy is the word I was looking for. Thank you so much. then that would be potentially a huge thing. I mean, the natural gas price maybe has been smelling this coming. It's gone from $4.50 to $3 per million British thermal units over the past 3 or 4 months. And at the end of this week, we in theory have the Alaska talks between President Trump and President Putin. And if there's a deal that satisfies everybody, and if Russian supply comes back into the global markets, you might think that would put further pressure on oil and gas prices for good measure to the benefit of consumers.
It's interesting to know whether the Europeans would continue to sanction Russian oil and gas coming in, even if the Americans kind of force through some sort of deal. The Azerbaijan pipeline is very interesting because it's not dependent on Russia, though those countries are in the orbit of Russia still, if you know what I mean.
I do, and also that I believe the Armenia-Azerbaijan deal, President Putin and Russia weren't involved at all. It was very much the Trump show, and I think that's already been noted in the fact that his name has been stuck on large parts of the agreement and some bits of infrastructure as well. So, again, even if there is an American deal, I gather there's an awful lot of people who are very uncomfortable by the American president's use of words like, land exchange. It may be that America strikes a deal that Trump liked, but it might not be to everybody's taste by any stretch of the
imagination. Absolutely not. And apparently the oil pipeline is going to be branded the Trump Peace Line or something like that. Staying with Donald Trump, because we rarely talk about him, the boss of Intel was in the Trump crosshairs on Thursday, I think it was, and he's pushed back a bit.
Yeah, I mean, Intel, still one of the world's biggest silicon chip makers, hugely important for microprocessing and computers. I mean, it's no consolation to Lip-Bu Tan, the relatively new boss of Intel, that he's in Trump's firing line, because it seems that most people are with him firing both the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the head of the Internal Revenue Service in the past week. Mm. But Trump has got Lip-Bu Tan in his firing line because he's arguing there's a conflict of interest here. Lip-Bu Tan's worked in the silicon chip industry for years. He's got ties to China. He's got a venture capital firms in Hong Kong and San Francisco that invested in Chinese technology companies in the past. He's worked for Cadence Software Systems that sold software to China. And so he's saying he should not be in charge of this strategically important company. Understandably, the CEO's pushback saying, look, I've behaved with maximum integrity, ethically, all the way through my career. I reject this call for me to be fired. We'll see where this standoff works out. But it's another example of the president taking a very keen interest in a very sensitive topic, shall we say.
Yeah, and to be honest, it is outrageous that a president would suggest who should run a company and who should not run a company, given the fact that the board's job is to do that. So far, the board seems to have said very little within Intel, though the shares were down, of course, when Lip-Bu-Tan's name was mentioned in a post. Let's see what happens there, as they say. Now, the Financial Times has an interesting story about U.S. consumers eating out less. Now, if you see pictures from Las Vegas in the last few weeks, you'll have seen the place is dead, absolutely dead.
And this is companies such as, I mean, this is the FT looking at reported results from companies like Wendy's, Denny's, Chipotle, even McDonald's have all been flagging customers may be trading down, eating cheaper options, drinking less, maybe buying fewer courses, knocking the appetizer off, or, heaven forbid, even just actually eating out less and eating more at home. If you look at the American inflation numbers, for whatever you think of them, the cost of eating out, the increasing cost of that year on year is actually outstripping the cost of increasing food prices eaten at home. So that's probably focusing consumers' minds. I mean, we've been waiting for this for a long time. The American consumer drives two thirds of the American economy, the world's biggest economy. And there's been a long held concern that eventually they will start to be tapped out, either because their credit cards are maxed out, they've got so much debt, or indeed that the lockdown checks have all expired, they've spent up, and now that with inflation having made its presence felt, there's been a squeeze on income. Maybe we're starting to see it. The National Restaurant Association runs its Restaurant Performance Index. That's now basically bang on 100, which means no growth, no shrinkage, but it's basically ebbed all the way back from its highs of 2021. So you can see it in there as well. And maybe this is one of the first signs the American consumer is feeling the pressure, and that is potentially before, dare one say it, any higher prices from tariffs come down the pipe.
And that's going to happen because Goldman Sachs put out a report yesterday in which they said 64% of the tariff thus far have been paid by US importers, and consumers are paying about a quarter of the tariff.
I can believe that.
And that inflation is, the choo-choo train of inflation is coming down the tracks. Russ, have a wonderful week, and don't forget your Factor 50 sun cream, and enjoy yourself this week. That's Russ Mull there from AG.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.